Is it recording?
Now it's recording.
Yay!
Go ahead.
This is the part where I stare blankly at the microphone. Try to remember what I'm supposed to be doing.
All right, let's start over.
Awkward pause.
I'm going to wrestle some papers.
Okay.
Now 1, 2, 3. Okay.
Hey, welcome to the Hashtag Am Writing Podcast. The Hashtag Am Writing Podcast is a podcast about writing all the things. Short things, long things, poetry, proposals, queries, rough drafts, perfect final drafts that are never actually final, all the things. Essentially, the Hashtag Am Writing Podcast is the podcast about flattening your learning curve and getting the work done. I am Jess Leahy, and it's all me this week, and I'll explain why in a second. Jess Leahy, I am the author of The Gift of Failure and The Addiction Inoculation, and you can find my work at the New York Times, the Washington Post, and The Atlantic, where I wrote at all three of those places for a number of years. So I'm coming to you from a rental car. I was going to start this morning. You're coming along on a speaking trip with me. I was going to start when my alarm went off at 3:45 this morning, but I couldn't make that happen. So I got to my flight. I boarded at a little bit before 6 o'clock in the morning, and I am safely now ensconced in my rental car in Indianapolis. I wanted to go through just the details of a speaking trip. Like, I've gone through a lot of the nuts and bolts of speaking, but I thought it would be really fun to actually take you with me. So I'm sitting in an enterprise rent-a-car. None of this is sponsored, obviously. I stick with one company because I usually do the rental car stuff myself. As we've talked about in the past, I am a speaker with American Program Bureau. I have an exclusive contract with them, which means that everything has to go through them first. There are exceptions to that. You know, if, for example, a speaking engagement is going to fall below the budgetary threshold where it's going to make sense for them to handle it, then it'll get kicked back to me and I'll take care of it myself. But even when they're handling all of my travel, as they were today for this trip, Connie is my travel person. Hi, Connie. And she's absolutely wonderful. She is... She handles getting me there. She handles my flights. She makes sure that I always have a backup flight. If something's going wrong, she tracks my flight while it's in the air. And if something is going wrong and I'm going to miss a connection, she can change it for me before I ever hit the ground. She's a miracle. But she also knows what we've learned about each other, what she has learned about me, is that I really like to be in control of my own transportation. And that often means getting a rental car instead of relying on a car, even though it could be super fancy. Some places have the budget for a black car to come pick me up. I don't know. I'd rather do it myself. I usually either Uber, or in the case of this trip, there is a long distance between the airport and where I'm going to speak. And actually, this weekend is a great opportunity to tell you about when other things can get complicated. So I'm speaking in Lafayette, Indiana. I think that's right. and from what I understand, I'm near a college and it is move-in weekend. And so there were no hotels left in the area. So Connie called me and said, what would you like me to do? Would you like me to put you near the airport? Which for this trip wasn't going to work out. Or where would you like to go? And I said, it doesn't matter to me. I have a rental car. You can put me anywhere, within half an hour of the venue, which is what she did. So I'm actually in a town sort of halfway between Indianapolis and my destination. So that's going to be super fun. The reason that I mentioned before the name of the rental car company that I use is because, number one, it's been great for me. They've been wonderful, and I use my membership and my points and things like that. So, for example, next weekend I have to help my son move to his new apartment in New York for his PhD program, and I was able to get the van I needed on rental car points. So, yeah, it works out really, really well for me. So along this trip, I'm going to be filling you in on what's going on, all the details. While we're here, I'm about to text the person who is my contact on my itinerary that my wonderful travel person Connie gives me, so that she can start to breathe a little easier knowing I'm actually on the ground in Indiana. One of my jobs is to reassure. There are often phone calls I take, or run-throughs, or sound checks, or whatever, that I might not need for myself, but part of my job is to reassure the client that I'm giving them exactly what they need and want, that I have all the details I need, and that they have all the details they need. So there's sometimes little things that I do just to reassure them of that. So I usually text them when I'm either when I hit the ground or when I hit my hotel, so they can know I am on the ground, things are actually going to happen, I'm actually going to be here in time for, even if I had to walk from here, I would still make it in time for my event. And that can just calm them down and sort of help them feel reassured that things are going to go well. So I'm going to get going on the road, and I will come back and tell you a little bit more about the details of this particular speaking event, how it's being handled. Are there going to be books there? Is it for teachers? Is it for parents? How am I organizing it time-wise? How am I organizing it in terms of who bills for what and all of that sort of stuff, for some very, very detailed look at what it takes to do a speaking trip. Talk to you in a bit. I thought I'd mention, while I have you here in my parked rental car, that when I'm on a trip like this, where I don't actually have to be anywhere until my event starts tomorrow, I set my directions on my navigation to avoid highways, which doubles the amount of time usually it takes for me to get somewhere. But I'm in a place I've never been before. I've been in Northeast Indiana. I've spent a lot of time in Southern Indiana, but I have never been in Northwest Indiana. So why not get off the highway and take the long way? Take the scenic route. This is also a metaphor for life. Hey, at the hotel, I am unpacking. So let's talk about what's in my suitcase. First of all, I try not to check my suitcase, because then I'd have to go on stage if it gets lost in my traveling clothes, and that's not good for anybody. So what's in here today? Well, half of my suitcase is books and other paper materials. Just so you know, security will probably want to open your suitcase if there's a lot of paper. Books, not as much, but and while there are plenty in here, I've got a copy of The Gift of Failure in Spanish, two copies in English, three copies of The Addiction Inoculation. Oh, strike that. Three copies of Gift of Failure as well. Those are for people who might not be able to afford it, or I don't know. Sometimes I just feel the need to give books away. And then I always bring books that I love to give away by other people. This time I brought The Self-Driven Child and What Do You Say by Bill Stixrud and Ned Johnson, and Devorah Heitner's Growing Up in Public, and The Good News About Bad Behavior by Catherine Reynolds Lewis. The way this works is the people who write those books, if I request it of them, I can have their publicist or I can have the author themselves send me copies. It's a really good deal for them, because I stand up on stage and talk about how much I love this book, and it gives me the ability to give books away to in this case, it's probably going to be teachers. And it's good for, and I also have a list of people I recommend for speaking, because often when I'm done speaking, I will recommend other speakers for the following year. And I have a list of various speakers, and I only recommend people I've actually seen speak. I need to be able to vouch for their speaking, not just their books. So I have that list as well, and the books tend to come from those people. And, you know, it sort of depends what I have. I have all kinds of different books that I take with me, and sometimes I buy my own copies. If there's a book I'm really crazy about, sometimes I'll buy my 10 copies, and I will take that along. Okay, what else is in here? I have a bag with lots of marketing materials. So what do I take for marketing materials? Well, when I first published, when Harper Books first published The Gift of Failure and The Addiction Inoculation, they gave me postcards, which have been invaluable. And I maxed out the budget on The Gift of Failure postcards. And obviously, it's been almost 10 years since that book was published. So I've almost run out. So I asked them for the PDF of the postcard so that I can pay to have them printed myself once I run out of the ones that Harper made. I put copies of The Gift of Failure postcard in copies of Addiction Inoculation, and I put copies of The Addiction Inoculation postcard in copies of The Gift of Failure so that you can know what else I have. So, and then I also have bookmarks for both books. I've run out of Gift of Failure ones, but again, I have the PDF, so I'm going to pay to have those made myself. It has tips on them, which makes them very popular. I sort of that takeaway is often what someone wants from my speaking engagements. So putting tips, those four big takeaways, on the bookmark tends to be a very popular item with people when I say I'm bringing, you know, something that very explicitly outlines the tips. I also have stickers. The sticker, I won the gift of, the Addiction Inoculation won the Research Society on Alcohol Media Award in 2023. And I wanted to be able to advertise that. And it's not exactly a sticker that my publisher would put on new editions of the book. So I took the logo for the Research Society on Alcohol, and I think I've said this in the past, I lifted it without asking, but they have since said, totally cool, it's fine with us, and made my own sticker. And I just had to order more. And I stick those on the copies of the cover of my book. As Serena pointed out to me, 2 inches across for a sticker is bigger than you think, and she's absolutely right, although that tends to be the smallest size that I'm able to get through the company that I use. But it's been great, because when I put this sticker on the addiction inoculation, it says, look, the researchers trust her work. And that's a big deal, especially when I'm sending it to another scientist, to another researcher. It's like the stamp of approval. So why wouldn't I put that on the front of my book if I could? So I have those stickers with me. I have my own business cards that has my pictures of my books on one side. I'm going to put all of this in the show notes so you guys can see it. My business card has copies of both books on the cover, on the front, picture of me and my email. I just decided to start giving out my email to everybody, my Instagram Threads handle, and my website. And then, of course, my hashtag #AmWritingPodcast that's yellow on the front with the chicken. And it says on the back, keep your butt in the chair and your head in the game. And what else do I have in here? Yeah, that's about all I have in here for marketing materials, but I always bring them. I have a copy of The Gift of Failure in Spanish because when I had my phone call with this organization, I asked them if they have a specific linguistic or language need in their community. Is there anyone there that maybe is first generation Polish or speak Spanish or whatever language, because Gift of Failure comes in like 17 languages. And certain countries, I don't have a ton of copies, but for example, the Gift of Failure in Chinese, in Mandarin specifically, I went ahead and ordered an entire case because when I go to certain places like Los Angeles, San Francisco, Vancouver, those books are really popular and I don't charge for those. I give those away. It's just sort of my effort to meet people where they are and give them the book in the language that they need. So that's what's in my suitcase. I also bring spare glasses because I've sat on my glasses before. So there's a spare pair of glasses in here. There's some slippers from a hotel that were free a long time ago because hotel room floors are gross. There's an extra outfit in case something, I spill coffee down the front of me, which is very likely. And because there is a pool that I think I might do laps in, I brought a swimsuit. So that's what's in my suitcase on this trip. And I'll check in again after my first event, which is tomorrow, with the, I think it's with the community, the parents. It's sort of the back to school sort of event. And then the following day, I'm speaking to faculty. So I'll check in with you there. Oh, and one last thing. I also have thank you notes with me. I have my note card, I think I've talked about this before, is very specific to me. It has text from one of my books with, you know, sort of red ink edits on it. It's the same note card I've had forever, and I love it, and it's in very heavy stock. I always bring enough copies of those thank you notes to write the thank you notes specifically to the people who hired me. I always send one. If someone says, oh, so-and-so teacher over here is the person who first recommended that we read your book, that person's definitely going to get a thank you note. In fact, if I'm out signing books and someone says, oh my gosh, we read this book at your school because of principal so-and-so, I always ask for that principal's name so that I can send that person a thank you note, because word of mouth is the most powerful thing when it comes to selling books and selling them over the long term. Again, Gift of Failure came out almost 10 years ago, and it's still selling well. So there are lots of people to be thanked, and I try to do that on a regular basis. In fact, I'm just about to do sort of a an annual roundup of people I need to go back and really thank again over the past year that have been instrumental in the continued sales of my books or sort of getting the word out about what I do. So, the note cards, the thank you cards, and it's best to have them sort of on hand to be able to do at the event, because then I can leave them with someone. For example, I was on Prince Edward Island winter, and I knew it would be difficult to find addresses for each of the people who were instrumental in hiring me, so I had them all prepared, all the thank you notes prepared, and I handed them off just before I left the conference to sort of one of the administrative assistants who was helping with the conference, and asked if they would be willing to disseminate those after I left, and she did, and I was very grateful to her, and so that makes it easier. Thank you notes can get done right away, or I can write them on the plane on the way home while everything is still fresh in my mind. And don't forget, when I did tips earlier, I said, don't forget to memorize the names of the people instrumental in getting you there, whether it's the person who directly hired you or the whatever, because those people will want their books signed at the very end, and often it'll be after everything's done. Maybe they've taken off their name tags, and your brain is going to be fried. So you want to make sure that you have the names of the key people in your brain, solidly in your brain. Practice if you need to, because there's nothing worse than the person you've just spent 2 days with asking to have their book signed, like they waited till the very end and it's really special to them and it should be special to you because this is the person responsible for you being there. If you can't think of their name, you know, all you've got really is, you know, how do you spell your name? And then if it's Jane, you look really dumb. So have those names right in your brain, and it'll help not just with the thank you notes, but also for when they ask for their book to be signed. Mealtime tip. It is mealtime here in my lovely hotel next to a highway and a strip mall. I love the people that hire me. I love my travel person. This is not a dig. It's just, this is what it is. So my food options here are not the healthiest. So here's another tip. When I'm on the road doing stuff like this, and as you know, I drove here the back way, which by the way was lovely, totally worth it. Find a grocery store. Go to the grocery store, get yourself some fruit, some yogurt, some nuts, whatever it is that does it for you that will make it so that you don't go home feeling like a toxic mess because you've been eating what's really normally available near strip malls like I'm near this evening. It makes it so that I can go home feeling not like I've been eating myself into some sort of junk food oblivion. So that's a little tip for you. Good morning. So I'm getting ready for my event, and I realized I didn't tell you what's in my book signing bag or my speaking event bag that I take with me everywhere. It's a lovely little bag that I believe Serena Bowen gave me a long, long time ago. I have a package of Kleenexes. I have a couple of individually packaged microfiber lens wipes for my glasses. I have 2 bags of peppermint tea, and I have 2 bags of organic throat coat slippery elm tea. It has saved my life in the past. I have a sewing kit that I believe I swiped from a hotel room somewhere. I have some toothpaste. I have a makeup remover wipe. 2 wintergreen lifesavers, 1 Band-Aid in case of blisters. I have a Tide stick. It's a good thing to have. I, of course, have Sharpies. I say of course, but I just took a picture of what's in the bag and I left Sharpies at home. I have a purple Sharpie, so today people will get their book signed in purple. I have a little tiny container of bag balms, some Burt's Bees for my lips, and I have my very favorite Burt's Bees. I really don't wear usually a ton of lipstick. I do wear makeup when I go on stage, but I have Burt's Bees tinted lip balm in fig, which is my favorite, which is why I think there's 4 of them in this bag. I also have an emergency NyQuil if I'm in a hotel where I absolutely positively cannot go to sleep and have to be able to sleep for the event the next day. Yeah, so that's what's in my bag, and I got to get ready. I got to put makeup on. I got to dry my hair. I got to get my clothes ready because I always get everywhere super early. And I obsessively check Google Maps to find out how long it's going to take me to get from my hotel to the venue. I have to get going because I need to, my nerves mean that I need to be in that parking lot and parked a full 15 minutes before they expect me to be there. What I gotta say, I'm insane. I also need caffeine. I always have coffee before I go on stage, which is unfortunately what leads to my flipped schedule when I speak at night. Luckily, this one's during the day. All right, talk to you in a bit. Hey, can I get an iced grande oat milk latte? And do you have banana bread?
Yeah.
I would like that as well, please. Thank you. Here's a typical moment. I am in the parking lot of the school in a shady spot, almost 45 minutes early, but that's okay. I have plenty to do in the car. I have my notebook here. I have my computer here. If I wanted to write, I could write. This is how you guarantee that you are never late for your own speaking engagement. I have been late once, and it was when I underestimated the traffic on 128 in Massachusetts, and it was the worst thing ever, and I swore I would never, ever, ever, ever be late to my own gig ever again. So this is how it works. I'm sitting here watching kids drive away with their parents on the first day of school at this school. So anyway, yeah. Hello, I'm done with my talk for the day. It went really, really well. Some of the things I think about as I'm heading in, number one, I had looked up some research on what's happening with kids in this particular area. Even though my talk was about the gift of failure, I always have the addiction inoculation content in the back of my head. So what I like to do is, I'm in Indiana, so I looked up the youth risk behavior survey information for Indiana, so that I could look at how Indiana compares to the rest of the country when it comes to things like substance use and a couple other health and wellness indicators, for example, sleep. So I was able to tell the people sleep and substance use are bidirectional, which means that kids who don't get enough sleep are more likely to use addictive substances, and kids who use addictive substances are more likely to, are more likely to get not enough sleep. So I looked up the information on that, and I was able to inform them that kids in Indiana who report that they get at least 8 hours of sleep is 18%. And that's just not good, because kids of middle school and high school age are supposed to be getting between 8 to 10 hours of sleep a night. And so if only 18% of kids in Indiana are saying that they're getting at least 8 hours of sleep a night, that's something that the parents need to think about. It was really fun. Today was a parent presentation. So I like to, tomorrow is my teacher presentation. So I like to give everyone the same vocabulary. I also noticed that there were some people in the audience for whom English was not their first language, which is one reason I like to chat with some of the audience members early on, especially if it's a smaller group. There were also a couple kids in the audience, which was really fun, makes my life harder because I have to think about what I want those kids to hear from me in addition to what I want the adults to hear. That's one of the hardest talks that I give, is talks for adults while kids are there. Today was great. It happened to be kids who were really good. One kid in particular who was entering eighth grade. Hi, Sam. He was not worried or upset at all about my talking to him, asking him questions. I got to ask him about, you know, times when, for example, I talk a little bit about flow. Mihai Csikszentmihalyi's flow. And I try to explain what that is. It's, you know, that state of doing something when you are at one with the thing you're doing. It's, you know, it's often talked about as like jazz, or for me, it's, you know, when I'm writing or when I'm cross-country skiing, when you're sort of at one with the activity and time just seems to fly. And so I asked Sam when, you know, what activities he does that, you know, where he looks up and he realizes, oh my gosh, like 3 hours have gone by. And so he mentioned, you know, Minecraft and Fortnite and those kinds of things. Anyway, it was really fun having the kids in the audience today. They were really, really good sports. So I also told some of the parents, you know, what I was going to talk about with the other group to sort of create those intersections where they knew they had had similar conversations around similar topics with the same vocabulary. So in order to get those conversations going between faculty and the parents. So that's really fun. I love that. What's even better is when I get a chance to speak to the kids and to the teachers and to the parents in three separate talks and make it really clear that what I'm trying to do is advance conversation, prime conversations between those three. Anyway, this is really topic specific, so let me get back to the general stuff. One of the things I think about before I go into the building, I pull out my itinerary that's prepared for me by my speaking agency, but I prepare similar things for myself when it's just me. You know, what's the name again of the person who invited me and who I'm dealing with, so that when I inevitably have to say hello / sign their book, their name will be right at the tip of my tongue. Who else might be there? Today, for example, I had met the principal previously on a Zoom call. There's nothing more embarrassing. Well, I guess there are lots of things more embarrassing, but for me, there are a few things less embarrassing than, or more embarrassing than when I meet someone and I say, nice to meet you, and we've already met. So that stinks. And so I try to avoid that. I double check the time. I double check, you know, all of that sort of stuff. Today was a really good example of why I double check time. I left this morning with plenty of time, knowing I wanted to explore the town. I'd never been to Lafayette, Indiana, which is where Purdue University is. So I was a little curious because I've had friends that have gone to Purdue. So I knew I needed to leave extra time, but I didn't look at how long it was going to take me to get there until the morning of. And if I had, I thought it was only going to take me like 20 minutes, but if I had stuck to that and hadn't looked at the time again, hadn't looked at the distance again, I would have been late. It took me almost an hour to get there. So that's another reason you double check the time. I get a little panicky sometimes, even in the days leading up to a trip, because I'm always afraid I'm going to be like 24 hours off. And so I double check all of my timing around days of the week and stuff like that. But, you know, that's just me. I do give out other authors' books, as I mentioned earlier, and I gave those books away today, and it was great. I did have that copy in Spanish, and that went to a family that does not speak English as their first language. So I was really glad I had that with me. Let's see what else. Inevitably, the person who invites me is going to, especially if they know I have nowhere to go except for back to my hotel, will invite me sometimes out for dinner or that kind of thing. And it's perfectly cool to say, that's really sweet of you, that's really kind, but no thank you. Emails don't stop coming in, deadlines don't go away when I'm out on the road speaking. So I actually went straight to a Barnes & Noble after exploring Purdue to do two things. Number one, to work, which was great. I got some work done. I earned my sticker for the amount of words I needed to write today. But I also had to check to see where Serena's books were and where KJ's books were and where my books were. And Serena has two books in a bookstore now, which is unusual. I don't often get to go see Serena's books in person. But Good Boy, the book that she wrote with L. Kennedy, was on a special table, and it had what I really wanted to see. It has what's called sprayed edges, meaning that the cover is this beautiful bright color and the edges of the book are painted as are colored as well. So it was just gorgeous. And I was able to find copies of KJ's books in her boots, and the Chicken Sisters were at that bookstore. And I was able to talk with the booksellers. I signed the copies of my books that were there at the bookstore, and they put stickers on them, and then they turned them facing out, which was super exciting. Then, as is my habit, once I had signed copies of the books in the bookstore facing out, I took pictures of them, and then I got on Threads and Twitter and sometimes other places and say, hey, by the way, there are signed copies of this book at Barnes & Noble in Lafayette, Indiana. I also, of course, took pictures of KJ's books and Serena's books so that I could send them to them as well. That's about it. I'm actually going to pack tonight. So tomorrow, I have to get up very early for my talk first thing in the morning, which is tougher. My voice isn't as great in the morning, so I like to get up really early before I have to be there, and obviously I have an hour drive ahead of time. I have to be all packed and ready to go because I go straight to the airport, so I want to be wearing something that's suitable for the stage but also for an airplane, and yet there have been times I've changed in the airline bathroom and stuff like that if I was wearing uncomfortable shoes. And what else? Oh, I always try to remember to go to the bank before my speaking gigs so that I can, before my trip leaves, so that I can get cash from the bank for tips for housekeeping. Because since COVID, people started carrying less cash. I certainly don't carry cash very often. So I have to remember specifically to go to the bank to get cash before my trip. There's two reasons for that. Number one, for housekeeping. Number two, because thanks to my really good friend, Zach Galvin, who does this thing called Yahoo Day, which was the last day of his chemotherapy when he had cancer many years ago. I do this thing called Yahooing. And whenever I do a trip like this, where I'm getting paid really well, I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful I get to do the job I get to do. And it's really important for me to remember that I'm extremely fortunate in what I get to do. So I always have a $100 tip for someone in the service industry. Sometimes that'll just be housekeeping at the hotel. And when I do that, I leave a note saying very specifically, yes, this is for you. Please take it. This is a tip for you, because, you know, I don't want them to get in trouble. For, you know, I try to leave it in an obvious place. But most often it's for someone who serves me at a restaurant, and I try to get out of there before they see the tip. But that's the reason that I have cash on me for the trip. Let's see what else. I need to take photographs or scan my receipts for this trip and get them off to the person who handles that for me with the billing. And yeah, that's it. Tonight I get to watch the closing ceremony of the Olympics and go to bed early because I have to get up super early for my gig tomorrow. Thank you guys for coming along with me on this speaking trip. I'm just so grateful for what I get to do. And it's a really weird life. It's hotels are weird. I'm next to, I can look out my window right now and see the highway, which kept me up last night a little bit. So now I know next time, if I were to ever come back, or if I ever make these similar reservations in a similar location again, I will ask for the non-highway side. You know, you learn a little bit of something every single trip. And our goal at the Hashtag Am Writing Podcast is to flatten the learning curve for you. So until next week, keep your butt in the chair and your head in the game. The Hashtag Am Writing Podcast is produced by Andrew Perella. Our intro music, aptly titled Unemployed Monday, was written and played by Max Cohen. Andrew and Max were paid for their time and their creative output because everyone deserves to be paid for their work.
Thank you.